This is Doug Miller. Who's in charge here anyway? Is it me or is it God? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time this side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, fully and certainly convinced that this is God's Word, that God is the one doing the work, that He will, according to His will, bring it out and bring it out right. And, of course, there's a great blessing in being able to be under the sound of this Word. And we have been richly blessed in this nation. I think sometimes we don't fully appreciate everything that we have. But nevertheless, you are here. You are listening. You presumably have a Bible. If you don't, you write a dialogue, and we'll see to it that you get one. But bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to the first chapter of Philippians, and we will begin where we left off last time at the sixth verse. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists for one reason and one reason alone, and that is to do exactly what we're doing, see this word go out. And that, by God's grace, is what we will continue to do as long as we can do it until the Lord shuts us down. So we, of course, are strictly a faith ministry. We covet your prayers and your support. We absolutely cannot exist without your prayers. So write a dialogue down on your little prayer list and pray for us. Tell others to listen to it. And we would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, Dialogue, for those of you who support Dialogue and pray for Dialogue and listen to Dialogue, you might be interested to know we're going up with a web page. We haven't quite got it up and running and functioning yet, and that is why I haven't given you the webpage site yet. But when we get it up and running, I'll let you know what it is. And this, of course, extends Dialogue Ministries out to the very ends of the earth, all over the world. And that gives us an added reason to feel the tremendous responsibility for what we are doing here. So pray for that as well. Okay, we left off last time at the sixth verse of the first chapter of Philippians, a verse that is rather controversial in many ways, and which is the reason that I'm coming back and dealing with it again. What it says is this. In fact, let's go back and pick it up at the third verse and read on down through the sixth. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. And here's this sixth verse, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason I say this is a controversial verse, you remember the question I asked at the outset of this broadcast here. Who's in charge here anyway? Is it me or is it God? Let me tell you something. If I really believed, if I believed for a minute that I was coming on here and in and of myself, I had the responsibility for seeing that this ministry goes forward productively and fruitfully, and that it all somehow centers in on me and what I can and am able to do, I would get out of this immediately. I couldn't stand the pressure. And for those of you out there, if you've been listening to Dialogue for any time at all, you know how we feel here about this business of falling from grace. And yes, I was saved by grace through faith, but it's up to me to hold on to it and keep it. You know that we don't believe that here, have never preached it, and never will. And this is one of the verses that I keep coming back to. Who is it that began this good work in me? Well, and in you. It was Him. It was God. He began it, and because He began it, He will perform it. Now, I know, and I've been arguing this for years, and I've been called names and everything else, and I've been there, I've done that. But those of you who are out there thinking that somehow you're involved in some work for God, and somehow it's all your responsibility to do it and do it right. Some of you preachers out there, I beg you, I implore you, think of this and listen to me carefully. If God called you to do what you are doing, if this is truly a work that God called you to do, if you have truly been gifted by the Holy Spirit to do the work of pastoring, preaching, teaching, and so on and so forth, I want you to think of this. Who's doing the work? If you say, well, I'm doing it with God's help. No, 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 please. You're not doing it with God's help. God is doing the work. And Paul affirms this over and over again. Once again, I know that many of you out there are going to be slow to accept this, and many of you won't accept it at all, and will no doubt consign me to the very pit for saying such a thing. The great fear out there is that this kind of preaching and teaching will lead to loose living and that people will go out and sin willfully. I want to tell you something. Those who are out there sinning willfully, the probability is that they're not saved at all. Now, that's not certain. God can correct His own. He can bring us back and discipline us, and He will. If He has begun the work, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is His work, and it's His work whether it is the work of saving you and keeping you, or it is His work, whether or not you are a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, a missionary. If you're really called of Him, if you are really doing His work, then He will perform it. He will continue it. And when we get home to heaven, all of the glory will go to Him. That's just the way it is. You've probably heard me tell this story before, but here it comes again. You know, if you listen to me, you know I have a tendency to repeat myself and to have forgotten from one day to the next sometimes what I said yesterday, but that's another story. There was a man, and I think it was Anthony Norris Groves, one of the early missionaries of the so-called Brethren way back in the early part of the 19th century. He went out to the mission field, and he went down to what is now Iran, Persia at the time, and he was down there for years. I don't know how long he was down there. And in the time that he was down there, he saw maybe one or two people saved. And someone said to him later on, isn't that pretty discouraging? You labored all those years and saw two people saved. And Groves responded, well, listen now, brother. The Lord didn't tell me to go down to Persia and see people saved. All he said was, you go down there and preach the gospel, and I'll see you at the judgment seat. Now, if you have been laboring away out there and you've been getting discouraged and you've been wondering, you know, I just don't see anything here. One of two things. Either you're in an area that the Lord never really called you to, or you are exactly where the Lord wants you. Then you go on faithfully doing what He calls you to do, and He'll see you at the judgment seat. Okay? He'll see you at the bema of Christ. not to determine whether or not you're saved, but to determine your rewards, and your rewards will be rich in that day. I can tell you that for sure. Now, for those of you out there who you were saved and you were wondering, but can I stay saved? Will I ever really be in heaven? If you don't know that, you're on a roller coaster that leads straight to bedlam. If you are saved, you will be in heaven. And here's a verse here that makes it very clear to me. Now, I want to say something else before I get off this verse and we move on. A man whom I greatly admired, he's long since gone home to be with the Lord. His name was Dawson Trotman. He was the founder of the Navigators, and you've probably heard me say, if you don't know who the Navigators are, well, they are a Christian organization, non-denominational. They've been out there for many years. They do all of the follow-up work, or did, for Billy Graham's Crusades. I don't know if they're still doing that or not. And very early in my life as a Christian, I came under the influence of the Navigators. And they, of course, specialized in, among other things, getting people to memorize Bible verses. Oh, wow, what a tremendous blessing that has been to this guy talking to you. If you do not commit the Word of God to memory, if you say, well, I can't do it, yeah, you can do it, if you want to. If you're not putting the Word of God in your heart, you are missing a tremendous blessing. But I digress. Dawes Trotman talked about this sixth verse here, and he said that he had utterly misunderstood it when he was a young man. He said, you know, he'd go out and give the gospel out to guys, and they would pray to receive the Lord, and then he'd go back later on, and they weren't living for the Lord at all, and he said, you know, something's not working here. I need to cut this verse out of my Bible. It's not working. And he said, well, I found out later on, I realized that I'd been taken the sixth verse away from the seventh and the eighth verses. So let me just read the seventh and eighth verses. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. To think what? That God is going to perform this work he's begun until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or proper for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now, Doss said, Paul didn't just say, okay, God began it, he'll finish it. He followed up his converts with prayer and with fellowship, and that's why he could say the sixth verse. Well, it is true that Paul did this, but I'm going to have to disagree with you, Doss. Of course, Doss is home in heaven, and he's not the least bit worried about whether or not I disagree with him. I love you. I love what you did. I love the people who are, you know, the Navs. No one has a higher regard for you than this guy talking. But that is a wrong interpretation. The truth of the matter is that so many people we give the gospel to, and we get them to pray the Jesus prayer, you know, and ask Jesus into their hearts and so on and so forth. And then we go back later on and we find out that they're not living for the Lord at all. And we say, well, they must have fallen from grace. Or, well, I must have done something wrong. I didn't follow them up right. Listen to me and listen carefully. You dare not think that just because someone prayed some prayer somewhere that he or she got saved. Maybe they did, and maybe they didn't. For those of you out there who are teaching Sunday school and talking, and, you know, you got kids and they're asking Jesus into their hearts, I want you to look very carefully at this Bible and tell me if you can find any place in this book where it talks about asking Jesus into your heart. Don't point up the third chapter and the 20th verse of Revelation. That's not what that's talking about at all. That verse is not about salvation. That verse is contained in a message to a church at Laodicea, those who are calling themselves Christians. And it's not about salvation at all. What We are looking at here in salvation, in real true salvation. And you remember that I know I've said this before, but I need to repeat it. It needs to be emphasized. The Lord Jesus Christ said it clearly in the 6th chapter of John. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. He said in the 10th chapter of John to a bunch of Pharisees, you don't believe in me because, now go back and read it for yourself, 10th chapter of John, not because you're just stubborn, bullheaded, and so on and so forth. No, because you're not my sheep. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He wrote it down very clearly in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians in the opening verse. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now let me tell you something. You can walk the aisles and you can get baptized and you can go to church for a while and you can put on a pretty good show in the flesh for a while. But you're not going to last and you're not going to stay with it and you're not going on for the Lord unless you are actually saved. You need, all of you who are listening to me, to examine yourselves closely to find out whether or not you're in the faith. How is your life? Is it evident to you that the Lord, which has begun this good work in you, will indeed perform it and is now performing it until the day of Jesus Christ? Now, if you sin and you've sinned this sin before and you're sinning and you're, I am not, don't take that as a sign that you're not saved. I know there are sins in my life that get the best of me and trip me up consistently. The question is not, are there sins that are tripping you up, and have you sinned this sin before, and are you sinning it again, and here we go again, and I can't seem to get the victory over it. The question is this. How do you feel about it? Do you just go merrily on your way as if nothing had happened, or are you grieved about it, and do you repent and bring it back to the Lord and confess it as sin? That's the Holy Spirit working in you. You repent. I don't care if you have to repent 3,000 times. You bring that back to the Lord, because if you are really saved, you can't live with it. And you cannot live in sin and go on and on like that. Now, I'm going to quote one more verse to you before we leave this subject. And it's from the little letter of Jude. And it says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Now that's the 25th verse of the little letter of Jude. I think it's the 25th verse. I quoted it from memory. Aren't you impressed? But there you are. I mean, that's what the NAVs did for me. They get you memorizing this stuff. And listen to that, what that verse says. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Well, if he's able to do it, why wouldn't he do it? Well, he will. And he can. And he does. And all of his children who are truly saved are coming home. Because he is able to keep them from falling, and he will present us all before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And you preachers out there, you need to, if you're doing a work for the Lord, once again, you need to rest in him. And don't take all of the weight on you. Don't take any of the weight on you. Roll it over onto him and rejoice in knowing that it's the Lord who's doing the work. And he is able to keep it going forward, and he will do it. All right, let's go on now to verse 9. We've got some time left here. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. And the word there is full knowledge, epigenose. It's full knowledge, and, you know, genosko, we get our word know from it. But this is full knowledge, and in all judgment or discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, once again, look at just look at this and let the Word of God say what it says and rejoice in it. And don't start arguing, I beg you, I implore you, with the Word of God. Oh, well, it couldn't say that. Well, it doesn't mean that. Just rest in it and enjoy it. Look at this. The fruits of righteousness, in verse 11, are by Jesus Christ. We are without offense, back in the 10th verse there, till the day of Christ. Now, don't get the day of Christ confused with the day of the Lord as it is spoken of in the Old Testament. These are two different days. These are two different days. The day of the Lord that the Old Testament talks about is the day when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth on the clouds of heaven in power and glory to execute judgment on a rebellious, sinful world. And when he comes back, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and people will run to rocks and caves and say, "Fall on us and hide us." It's the end. It'll be a terrible time. And if you don't believe it, just go back and read the book of Amos and see what he says about the day of the Lord, and you will find that all of the Old Testament prophets are in agreement with him here. Joel, it's a time of darkness and not of light. It's a terrible time. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time when judgment will fall on a rebellious, evil world. Let me ask all of you out there, are you saved? If not, and you miss the day of Christ, which is talked of in this 10th verse, if you're not saved, then you will miss the day of Christ, and you will be around for the day of the Lord. And I am telling you, you don't want to do that. Well, what's this day of Christ? The day of Christ is the day that the church is looking for, the day of Jesus Christ. Paul mentions it back there in the 6th verse. He mentions it again here in the 10th verse. This is the day when the Lord comes back for his church, when he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is not a day for mourning. This is a day for rejoicing for all those who are saved. And once again, we see that we will be sincere and without offense. I mean, this is Paul's prayer. This is, incidentally, very much what the Lord Jesus prayed in his great high priestly prayer of the 17th chapter of John. Go back and read the Gospel of John and see what Jesus prayed for us. Not just for those who were in the upper room then, but he said, all of those who will believe in me through them. And the prayer is that we will all be with him in glory to see his glory and his beauty. And I'm telling you, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Will you be there? You can be. It's a matter of hearing this word and listening to it and believing the gospel. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.